We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Attention! Attention!
They are not ready for prime time, as they say.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name, prime time.
What time is it? Showtime, prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
Because I would clean that bone about as good as anything.
Hacker.
The guy's got a pair of legs on.
Matt Hayes.
His balls are different in person.
And Leon Searcy.
Once July, end of July here, we ain't going to see a lot of Big Daddy.
How you like me now?
Oh, here we go, a Tuesday. We've got a short show today because we've got to line them up. XL Prime Time franchise show. Jaguars programming, including the Urban Meyer Show. So welcome into the noon hour. You're probably feeling like this is a short work week, so you're kind of – this is the hump day because you got yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we've got what we think will be a busy week in terms of news with maybe Florida moving quickly to replace Dan Mullen. It definitely is a hot, hot, hot topic that we will get into with the Billy Napier discussion. So we'll throw out a Twitter poll and ask you guys what you think of Gator fans and – anybody else can vote, of course, about what they think about Billy Napier maybe being the next coach at the University of Florida. So that is going to be one of our main topics. Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri is going to join us in about 10 minutes' time. And we played the clip yesterday of Eli when he was on XL Primetime back in the offseason. And he was taking a shot at Dan Mullen. And then his team beat Dan Mullen's Gators, and then he took another shot Saturday night by saying, "May the force be with you." So I am looking forward to having Eli on the program.
That's the cosmic gods right there, taking care of everything.
Yeah.
Because it just all works out in the end. At the end of the day, it all just slides in perfectly, man. Yeah. It'll be fun talking to Eli. He's busy right now. They play Friday against Arkansas, at Arkansas. He's got a lot going on, but he wanted to come on prime time. Discuss it with the boys, yeah. Yes.
Well, in regards to the Billy Napier news, so truthfully, I mean, I knew who Billy Napier was. I didn't do my, quote, due diligence on Billy Napier until the last week or two. And in the last, 36 to 48 hours, Billy Napier played quarterback at Furman. So one of his offensive linemen who was at Furman with him actually lives locally here in town. He called the fifth quarter on Friday to discuss Billy Napier with us. I've been watching YouTube clips of Billy Napier from his introductory press conference at Louisiana to some of his post-game comments after some of their games this year. And it got so bad for me last night that I'm on Twitter tracking flights out of Gainesville. As people were tweeting this stuff, the UAA or some Twitter handle has radar where there was a flight that left Gainesville yesterday and landed in Panama City. So there was some question, Matt, about Jimmy Sexton. And the coaching agent, who's agents for everybody, over in Destin.
Jimmy Sexton is Billy Napier's
agent. So that came up. And then there was another flight that left Gainesville, flew over Panama City, and landed in Lafayette.
Yeah.
So here I am, 2 days before Thanksgiving, Leon, on social media, looking at plane radar to see if anybody from Gainesville is flying in the vicinity of Lafayette, Louisiana. That's how I spent my Monday evening last night, in preparation for what we believe is Billy Napier being the favorite to land this Florida Gator head coaching job.
I'm glad you got the 411.
I did.
I'm glad I found other
Heidi
things
to do with my
spare
time. Heidi is a lucky woman. Isn't Heidi so fortunate to
not
have
only me? That, not only that, I'm glad you had time to do that, yet you didn't have time to get us the wings you're supposed to get us because you lost the bet.
No, but here's the thing.
Interesting.
I have two podcasts to do tomorrow. I told you it was going to be on Wednesday. It was going to be the day before Thanksgiving.
You know it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Find out if DoorDash or somebody can deliver,
they pretty much all can.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that, you know what? If I have this right, I think that is the business they are in.
All right. No.
I am pretty sure.
At this point, I don't even want the food. I just want them to pay up.
Somebody hit the text line and let us know if that's in fact true.
They deliver from some locations and not necessarily from others.
Right.
So I don't know how all that works.
Right.
I'm willing to pay, but I have the award-winning Gator Bites podcast. I got to do something with Gibby tomorrow at 11, so I will give one of you guys my credit card.
No problem.
Yeah, well,
done.
I'll give you my credit card.
Right now, Heidi's driving along on Wolf Road.
Done.
I'll give you my credit card. It better not be more than $30.
No, the entire station will eat courtesy of you. You've eaten off the station.
I'm feeding you.
Credit card.
The five of us are eating on me tomorrow, but I got to find a way to get the food.
Wait. The five of us is over 30. That's $6 a person, bro. That's not going to get no wings.
That ain't going to get it done.
We're in a recession here. Gas is $3.40 an hour. $3.40 a gallon.
Your mouth got you in a position that your credit card can't get you out of it. Yeah.
We're
right?
not having scallops wrapped in bacon. I'm getting you guys wings.
You wrote a check your butt can't cash.
All right, well, then I'll go like 40 or 45 max.
40's good.
Yeah, anything over. Death Row guys get $40 for their last meal in the state of Florida.
All right, so we'll
that
each
should
off.
Be more than five people.
Then we'll each, that's it
always
40
goes back
for each
to those
of
guys, doesn't it?
Seriously, when you're in Death Row at Stark, you get up to $40.
See, what I don't understand is that I didn't lose a bet, and about a week and a half ago, I brought Wingstop for everyone.
Yes, right.
To
did.
Make sure everyone right. at least got at least yeah. 12 right. pieces yeah. of yeah. piece.
Yes, you are.
Wait a minute, whoa.
The whole place.
The whole place, yes.
You have an award-winning book. You have a cigar line. You played in the NFL for 11 years.
What is that?
I'm a local radio DJ,
Stop
all right?
It.
It's a little different income persona there.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have guaranteed again, Florida beating Missouri then.
You have been treated to countless
I
meals.
I have. I'll take care of you yeah. guys.
So we'll see how it goes. But, all right, so Billy Napier's going to be a big topic today. The Twitter poll, JJ, you will put it out there, and it's a very simple one.
Yeah, it's out there right now. If Billy Napier is hired at UF, how do you feel about the hire? Like it or don't like it? Like it, early leader.
Okay. So go to @1010XL, and this would be a good spot to put your reason why. Just a one sentencer, if you can, the good and the bad. What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? I don't know anything about him. You can certainly say that. That's cool. So do that. So we're going to talk Billy Napier today. We're going to talk a bunch about what's going on with all of our big games coming up. Chances for you to win FSU Florida tickets. So be sticking around for that. Of course, we'll get into the Jags. But Eli, Coach Drinkwich of Mizzou, who beat the Gators by going for two in OT, we'll get with him coming up on XL Primetime.
Bazelak in trouble, lofts it up to the end zone. They got it, touchdown, tight end, Daniel Parker. And this one is in the books. Missouri wins it by one.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
A wise man said to me a long time ago that if you could win on one play, wouldn't you rather do that than have a series of plays for both teams to guarantee success? And it made sense Saturday night when Missouri went for two. We welcome the coach of the Tigers, Elijah Drinkwitz, on the program, a guest of XL Primetime in the past, and we appreciate your time now. Coach, how are you?
Man, I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
We're doing great, and you know, we want to get into a couple of different things, but here in the state of Florida, Dan Mullen being bounced, this is certainly top of mind for everybody. But go to the two-point play. Do you agree with that? It's not like you had to have any extra juice in you. It's a good percentage-wise type of game plan, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at the struggles that we were having offensively to move the ball, you know, we were able to get those two runs, but we hadn't been consistently moving the football. So for us to have the opportunity on the three-yard line to gain 3 yards to win the game, I think that's the best opportunity. Plus, if you look at with the new overtime rules, you know, we were going to get the offense ball back, and we had to go for two our next possession. So if you feel good about your two-point play call, to me, if you are understanding and know the rules, then you should go after the end of the first overtime.
Eli, it's Matt Hayes. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. So are you a believer in college football gods and the cosmic convergence of, you know, what happens in the universe? Because, Eli, it could not have played out any better what happened in that game. Considering what happened last year – and then what happened this year?
Yeah, you know, my father-in-law is a farmer, and there's the old saying, you reap what you sow. And so I believe that, you know, just like everything else, that, yeah, I mean, if you sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow, you know, jackass ability, you get jackass ability. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. And so, you know, I've done my fair share of jabbing people and know that it'll come back to you. So, you know, I think it's just kind of part of the game.
Coach, I will tell you this. Gator fans can be a salty bunch from time to time, but there was not a Gator fan that I knew that, or even that I saw on social media that saw what you did with the force me with you comment that didn't think that was hilarious. So not only did you win the room there at Missouri, but there was not a Gator fan, again, that I saw here in Jacksonville or the surrounding area that didn't think, wow, tip your cap to that guy. He got us.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the best jabber in all of sports has been Steve Spurrier, and I felt like I had, you know, I felt like that would be something that Steve Spurrier would have blessed, and so that's kind of why I went with it.
So we want to play the clip that you played or that you said to us during the offseason just to tie it all together for our fans, and you gave credit to the recruiting department for putting a hoodie and a lightsaber at the podium. So tell us how it all came together, but just so fans can hear this, this was Coach during the offseason.
I know Coach Mullen, have a lot of respect for him, but he's got no future in stand-up comedy, and he's really got no future in acting either. He doesn't know there's 6 Star Wars or 9 Star Wars, or, and Darth Vader doesn't win in the end. So, I mean, whatever. Yeah, well, maybe I do keep records and receipts.
Hey, Coach, that was your senior day. How special was it for those kids to beat Florida on their last day at Mizzou?
You know, I really don't know that any of us can kind of sum it up into words. What's getting lost in this business of college football is the fact that these young men come in, sacrifice their bodies, their time, and their experience. And that's going to be, some of them, the last time they ever play college. Well, for these guys, it won't be the last time they ever play college football. But for all of them, it's going to be the last time they ever play college football at Faurot Field. And all the blood, sweat, and tears, all the things that they've given this university, for them to walk off as a winner on the last play of the game, I think it's one of those 7 to 8 minutes that you'll hold with you for the rest of your life. And I don't know that it gets better than that in sports. You know, I've been fortunate enough to win a national championship and a conference championships. You know, what you win is not nearly as important as the moment that you have it when you win it. And that's a moment that we'll always remember and cherish.
Yeah, Coach, I could think about when we go back to our reunions at Miami 10, 20, 30 years from now, we always remember those games that meant, you know, yep, the most to us. So, yeah, those kids 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they won't understand the magnitude of it until they come back and discuss it with one another.
Absolutely. College football is all about the experience, man. What kind of experience are we giving these student-athletes? And it's an experience for the fans, too. Like, you know, the wisecrack I made, it's all part of the experience. It's what makes college football fun and what makes the you know, fan enjoy it and the people be engaged in it. And so Saturday was a good night.
We're speaking with Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of Missouri, the ultimate Jedi right now, the ultimate Jedi. Eli, this is kind of the first year where everybody's dealt with the transfer rule, you know, where you get a free transfer, and the portal and the idea of NIL. How are you guys dealing with that right now, and how much more difficult has it made your job?
I mean, our jobs are difficult, but it's hard to complain when they pay us the amount of money they pay us, so I'm not going to get into complaining about it. It is what it is. You know, I think you just have to be conscientious of the portal and how can you add value to your football team but also add culture. You got to be careful that you're not adding the wrong pieces. You know, that to me is the biggest thing is you got to make sure you're adding the right pieces. And you got to remember, too, like people are leaving the portal or joining the portal. They're not always transferring up. So, like, how many players are jumping into the portal and jumping, you know, into the SEC? So it's not going to be a Band-Aid fix for everybody. And people got to understand that, too.
Coach, appreciate your time. Know you got to go because you guys play in 3 days. But give us a little preview of Missouri and Arkansas. That'll be a nice little game to end the regular season there. Sam Pittman's done a great job with his program. You guys also bowl eligible now. That'll be fun on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good rivalry, obviously, with bordering states, battle line rivalry, CBS 230 the day after Thanksgiving. Sam's done a tremendous job, got his program moving in the right direction. They're playing extremely hard. You know, we have got to play really good football on the road in order to win it in the SEC, and all the Jedi mind tricks in the world aren't going to matter if you don't go up and take care of the football and run the football. So those are the things that we're going to have to do in order to play well. And you know, football will humble you. So if you think you're smart this week, you better work twice as hard to try to make sure you have that same success this week. And I've said this before, you know, this week doesn't care what you did last week. So we got a tough one in front of us on Friday.
Yeah, good way to put it. Elijah Drinkwitz and Sam Pittman are like two of our favorite coaches, so we will all be watching with interest. All right, so before you go, your favorite side dish to go along with dark meat, white meat, what's your favorite side?
Man, dressing is only a one-time-a-year meal. So at Thanksgiving, if you're not eating dressing, you're kind of wasting your time. I mean, you can fix a Sunday meal with all the fixings the rest of the year.
That's great. Awesome, Elijah. Really appreciate it, man. Good luck against the Hogs.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Right. Great stuff there. And look, I think Gator fans, some were probably even happy that Missouri won the game Saturday night to get rid of this nonsense.
Yeah, if you get the result in the end.
But to get rid of the nonsense surrounding Mullen. But sometimes when some Saturday night, and then for Coach Drinkwitz to go to that podium, put the hoodie on with the lightsaber, and may the force be with you, you applaud him. You say, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, his quote to, I guess, Saturday Down South was the one who got it, Matty. I don't know if anybody else did, but he goes, I've got to give a shout-out to my recruiting department. They had kind of set that up, and I told them I'm not worried about that. And then in the locker room after the game, they say, hey, Coach, we're going to put this underneath your podium. And he said, all right, let's go for it. Let's see how this plays out. I mean, I love that.
The best was when he kind of admitted, yeah, I keep receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew exactly what it was all about. He's been waiting for this moment for a while. And just like I said, man, it's these things happen where the college football gods kind of makes everything work out the way it should work out.
Yeah.
You know, what did he say? If you live right, it's good. And if you act like a jackass, you get jackass things.
And he also knows that he's done some of those things that'll come back to get him. And it's the quote old saying is your comeuppance. And it just happens. It's going to come up. It's going to come back and get you.
Right.
But still, for everything that's happened here, Dan Mullen, for most Gator fans out there, not all of them, but for most Gator fans, some of them were slow to this, others were quick to this, but they basically saw a guy that looked like he basically turned into a brat that said, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And I don't think there's too many fans that are going to be long for that. And honestly, I don't know where he lands next or what the position is and how he'll be viewed next. This was a real important, I think, opinion changer of Dan Mullen.
I always think it's good on the group text that we have, the five of us, when there's a disagreement. Because if there's a disagreement between the five of us, there's probably disagreement with obviously the people listening here in the great city of Jacksonville, Florida, when we bring it up. And Dan Mullen fired on Sunday, reportedly, according to Scott Strickland, was offered the opportunity to coach the Florida State game. Decided not to. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame Dan Mullen necessarily for not doing that. You're fired. But there are some Gator fans that I saw over the weekend, and some again yesterday as well when talking about this, that are upset Mullen made that decision. Feels like he's just bailing on senior day for the guys that he recruited. This was his first class that he recruited to Florida in 2018, the four-year seniors that are playing their final home game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan Mullen's choosing not to coach them in that final home game. Leon, what's your take on that?
Well, initially I had a problem with it, but you know, this is not about him. All the distractions with Dan Mullen, him getting fired. This is about these seniors and their last chance to play in the swamp. The last time they put on that orange and blue. And that's going to be because most of these kids, they're not going to go pro. This is going to be the last opportunity they're going to have to play football ever. You know, so I mean, he wants to make it about the kids. It's about their opportunity. Their last hurrah at the swamp, the last time to put on the uniform. He didn't want people to be talking about Dan Mullen and fire and all that kind of stuff. So totally I understand it completely, him not coaching in the last game.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. You're 100% right. And he if he's still the coach right now, or he's coaching this game, it's all about him. How did it go wrong? When do you think it went wrong? Do you think he could have done things better? You know, they don't need that. They just need to focus on Florida State and go try and win a game and get bowl eligible so you get 15 bowl practices, and the guys, the seniors that are going away get a nice bowl trip. Mm,
yeah. You know what we'll do? We got a short show. So, JJ, if there are – we have FSU Florida tickets, okay, that we want to give away. And so let's just do a couple of qualifiers each hour, just kind of make it wide open. So we'll take two callers, callers 3 and 4 at 641-1010. You go in the drawing, then we'll do two more in the 1 o'clock hour and give four people a chance to have a happy Thanksgiving, and get those Florida FSU tickets coming up on Saturday with a high noon kick.
And look, it's for a bowl game. I mean, the winner's season continues.
It's trying to get to 6.
Right. The winner's season continues. The loser's season is over. You know, you plan things out, right, in the world of sports radio. And this is 2021. So we're winding the clock back 25 years. It is the 25th anniversary of 1-2 at Doak Campbell, where Florida State won, and then obviously the national title game that followed a month and a half later, where Florida won in January of 97. So we are at the 25th anniversary. I'm sure there's a name for the 25th anniversary. I don't know.
Silver.
Is it the silver? Yeah. So the silver anniversary of two of the biggest games in the history of this rivalry. And we think, all right, let's get a bunch of guys from the 96 title team for the Gators and the 96 team, one of the great teams for Florida State, and we're going to line them all up. And then all of a sudden, Florida State's 5-6. Florida's 5-6. Their coach is fired. It certainly doesn't feel like a big anniversary to celebrate that those battles in 96.
Well, it's this argument that we've been having, and we'll carry it over coming up here in just a second, is that the fall from college football grace for the Sunshine State, I don't think anybody could have ever imagined or scripted this. And by the way, Florida started this year standing on top of this table looking down at Miami and Florida State. Where are they now? Okay, they're all right there in the short end of the pool, all trying to figure out how to swim again. So let's get into that coming up. We'll get our Twitter poll going. Thanks to Beaver Chevrolet, Beaver Toyota. You can find both of them online, beaverchevrolet.com, beavertoyotastaugustine.com, with great deals, particularly at the end of the year. They like to move inventory, like to make you smile. They got lots of giveaways when it comes to Black Friday, so you can log on and see all the opportunities. So vote in the Twitter poll. Give us a reason if you like the idea of Billy Napier or if you don't like the idea of Billy Napier being the next Florida Gator head coach.
Actually, one of his better games. You know, there was some surrounding cast that at times didn't do very well. But, you know, Trevor would be the first one to tell you when he doesn't play well. He played, in my mind, he played well. You know, good enough? No, not good enough. But played well, made some great throws, scrambled when he had to, made the right reads on some of, you know. So we just got to, you know, we got to put it together in all areas, and we're not right now.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Urban Meyer, that was his comment on Trevor Lawrence that cut courtesy of Jaguars.com. And there's, you can't help it, Leon, it was 30-10. Okay, the yardage that he had was late in the game. It was junk yards, junk time. What did Marvin Jones, with 5 minutes to go in a game, got his first catch. And he went back-to-back, two-back, three straight catches. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out what Urban's talking about.
You know what? I know what happened. I thought I was watching Trevor, and I was actually watching Aaron Rodgers against Minnesota. And that's the game he must be talking about where he played well.
Is this right? A Joe Mixon moment?
I guess, because I don't know where he saw. We're not watching the same game. I mean, if you're talking about the garbage yards towards the end, yeah, he drove him down and scored a touchdown. Robinson scored. Yeah, but for the mass majority of the game, he was under pressure. He was confused. He was scrambling for his life. He was underthrowing. He was overthrowing. Guys were dropping passes. I don't know how he can justify him playing well.
Well, he secured the football. There were no fumbles or interceptions. I guess I'm trying to find out what Urban was talking about. Maybe he checked out of some things, things.
The one drive where they had the field goal. It was a decent drive, but we are talking about a not a nanosecond in that game.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Okay, it was one drive that led to a field goal.
He's got 8 touchdown passes in 10 games. I mean, that's not very good. That's less than a touchdown pass a game. He would need to throw 1 touchdown pass in each of the next 7 games to get to 15 touchdown passes to equal what Tim Couch did his rookie year. So it is what it is. Now, he's completing more than Tim Couch. I'll give him that. I think he's at 59. Tim Couch was at 54. But that's kind of the trajectory that Trevor Lawrence is on right now.
My guess
he's going to have the year of Tim Couch.
My guess is he's managing the game, which is what that's probably the big thing for them right now, how he manages the game, how he doesn't get frazzled. And I can tell you this, he's starting to get frazzled. Mm-hmm. Because like I said last week, this stuff drops don't happen in a vacuum, man. When drops happen, it affects everything.
Oh, yeah.
And his confidence is starting to get frazzled. You can tell he's starting to get angry. He definitely looked like he had the body language of someone who was really pissed off at another drop. I mean, we're at what, 22 drops now? Is that right, or more?
22. I think. Yeah, 22.
I mean, they kill drives. And it's not just the drops. It's the holding calls. It's the false starts.
Right.
It's the sacks given up. It's the pressures given up. He can't – I mean, he's a rookie in the league dealing with all this crap going on all around him.
I'm waiting for the Trevor Lawrence blow up.
Yeah.
No, he's more than overdue. I know they say he has a calm demeanor, and I've never seen him act that way in college, but it's got to come a point in time where he's got to step to these wide receivers, this O-line, and say, hey, bro, he's got to call them out.
Little Dan Marino moment.
Yeah, he needs to call them out. Hey, man, listen, I'm trying to win some ball games. You can't be dropping the ball. You can't be running the wrong route. Hey, give me some protection. You know, that kind of stuff right there. I mean, I know it doesn't seem to be in his demeanor, but if you want to win, you got to hold these guys accountable.
When can you do that? Because
he's a dog.
Exactly.
When can you do that as a rookie?
You can do it now. You're the first pick overall.
So you're with the Steelers, or you're with the Jaguars. Say the Jaguars had a rookie quarterback in 1998. You're a 6-7 year veteran. And 10 games in, that rookie quarterback comes up to you, a 7-year veteran, and says, you need to protect better.
If he's got the talent.
I'm asking you.
If he's got the talent, and I know he's got the talent to get it done, I'll be upset. But I know if I'm not getting the job done. Then if I know I'm not getting the job done, if I'm getting beat on inside moves and bull rushes and pressures and spin moves and all that kind of stuff, yeah, absolutely, I would listen to him. But if I'm holding my own and you ain't getting rid of the ball, then that's on you.
And then there's a little comeback from you to the rookie.
Exactly.
But that's a mirror moment. You got to look yourself in the mirror. Exactly. And now – to go to what Urban said, and Urban said the supporting cast may be struggling. So
yeah, he's talking about the guys up front. He's talking about the guys up front. When he's saying the support, well, he's talking about the whole team, but the guys up front, hey, give him some protection. You know, give him a pocket so he can move and maneuver. Give him the space in the middle of the pocket so he can step up and make a throw. Mm-hmm. Man, half the time he's getting pressure where he's having to throw off his back foot. And then when he has to throw on his back foot, he's got a right tackle who won't use his hands, who get beat inside on an easy inside move. But listen, I watched Bosa all week because we talked about I watched Bosa gave him the easiest moves he's ever given anybody in the NFL, and he still got beat.
How would you have blocked Nick Bosa? Man.
First of all, put hands on him. Listen, scared hands don't get – I always say the scared hands don't block man. Mm-hmm. If you don't make them fear your hands – they do whatever they want to because they know you're going to grab, you're going to touch. No, but if you lay your hands on them and you punch them and you make them pay for coming inside or you make them pay for leaving chest,
make
then
that
they
clear. When you say put your hands, you're saying you
talking
punch
about
them.
Punch them.
Yes.
I'm talking about unload on them.
See, now.
And make them go
take
ahead.
Their breath away.
Exactly.
Let me ask you guys this. And I'm talking about because yesterday Urban Meyer said that if things don't start changing, that changes may be made. And was he talking about Daryl Bevel? Was he talking about other offensive coaches? He certainly wasn't talking about Trevor. You're not going to bench Trevor for C.J. Beathard. That's nonsense. So if changes are going to be made, like Urban said, if things don't improve, you would think it's the coaching staff. But look at the offense in its entirety. I'm talking about everybody, man. Wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, O-line, you name it. Quarterback even. Throw Trevor in it. Who is playing well? Of the 25 or so guys that suited up as offensive football players for the Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday, is there one guy that's actually playing decent?
Well, before he got hurt, Agnew was a guy that was making...
Agnew dropped the ball like three times in Indy.
I'm just saying made things happen. Okay, well, look, the way you set this up, there are a lot of guys that are playing poorly, so you got to get through those and find the guys that are playing better than that. And in this particular case, Agnew, while he has drops, because I've talked about the ones where they were dropped right in the breadbasket, he should have made the catch. He still has made more plays than others. He's made more plays than Viska has.
Right, but you get targeted six times, you don't have any catches. That's not a good ratio. Mm-hmm. That's what his ratio was in Indianapolis. He had six targets, no catches.
Totally get that, but this is kind of going back to our criticism of Trevor, is that the catch radius is a little out of whack right now. That may be a target, but it may not be catchable. Some of these, like the one to Viska going back to the Indy game where he needed to be able to turn up field, didn't give him a chance to turn up field because the body had to rotate in the other direction.
All right, so let me phrase it a different way. And you're probably right about Agnew. What offensive guy that wasn't signed here to be a special teams player is playing well right now? Nobody.
Right, I think you know the answer.
That includes Trevor, and obviously he doesn't have a lot of help. But it is a complete failure at every level on offense right now. When you don't throw a touchdown pass in three games, you're not protecting your guy. James Robinson's hurt, so you got to take that into account. Your best player's hurt. You won't even try to get the ball to Dan Arnold on Sunday. It is a failure at every level on offense.
And I can't help but take all those guys that aren't getting it done and add the coaching staff to it. Because the coaching staff, to me, is not the singular biggest thing, but it's pretty damn close. Because they're causing problems and not freeing up Trevor or freeing – it's like I told you guys yesterday, I haven't seen enough screens to running backs in – We're in week 11 now, okay? I finally saw one that had a little success. I finally saw a little pick play with a wide receiver moving another guy out so a guy could make a catch and make a play and turn up field. None of this is happening with any regularity. And, Leon, when you look at the way others – and the 49ers, you can't compare this team to that team because they are excellent at running the football. But there are so many teams that move – defensive lines and open holes for running backs in this team.
Well,
they can't.
Well, the biggest problem I have with
consistency.
The biggest problem I have with is Bevel is that OCs are stubborn. All right, they're stubborn. They're going to try to do it their way, fix it their way, and get it done their way, and not realizing that he doesn't have the personnel grouping. He doesn't have the wide receivers. So you got to play to your strengths. You got to play to your running game. James Robinson, you got to play to your strength. You got to play to running the ball, play action. You got two tight ends. You've got to play to your strength. You've got to make some personnel. You got to make some personnel decisions because if you're not getting any separation with the wide receivers, then you got to do something different. Because seeing that same thing every week in and week out not work, that's the most frustrating thing about it. And the OC doesn't seem to want to do anything about it.
Just one little example, and this is back to back games. And Kyle Shanahan is a great offensive play caller. Let's just say that right now. But in back-to-back games, when Von Miller went to L.A., Shanahan says, I'm going to run the football more than I'm going to throw it. I'm not going to let him make plays on my quarterback. And he had these quick bootleg plays where Garoppolo would drop back, do this little bootleg loop, and then find the middle of the field for 15-yard, 20-yard completions. And this team doesn't do anything like that.
Well, the thing with Daryl Bevel, though, all right, and I'm not trying to defend Daryl Bevel. The guy's been in the NFL for 20 years. I mean, as a quarterback coach in Green Bay in early 2000 to a coordinator with the Vikings, a coordinator with the Seahawks, a coordinator with the Lions, and now a coordinator with the Jaguars. He didn't magically wake up this year and forget how to run an NFL offense. He's been doing it as a coordinator in this league since 2006. They just don't have personnel. Now, is it Bevel's job to scheme people open? Yeah, that is his job. But let's not take the onus off the players here. Bevel's going to be the one that's probably going to pay for this. Laviska Shenault is a huge disappointment, a gigantic disappointment. If we want to sit here and talk about how bad Caleb on Chason is and how bad Taven Bryan is and all these guys on defense, Shenault, to me, is at that level on offense, a gigantic disappointment. Marvin Jones is what he is. He's a 31-year-old journeyman. That was your free agent acquisition. All those wide receivers that were available, you sign a 31-year-old guy that's on his fourth team. DJ Chark got hurt. You got a plan for that. They didn't. They lose DJ Chark, and that greatly affected them.
Yeah, their plan was Tavon Austin, Laquon Treadwell, just
and
a bunch of retreads.
John Brown. I mean, it was a horrible plan, but guys like Shenault haven't performed either. That's a failure at every level.
Is any of us – I think we've been all sorts of critical about Viska Shenault. We expected great things. We've gotten very, very little. We've seen a handful of yak plays from him, but so few they pop because you're like, where has that been? And then it disappears again. So, no, got no problem criticizing those guys that haven't come through. But my whole point is that they're subpar in the talent – pool, and they're subpar in coaching right now, and that is the combination of Bevel, Schottenheimer, and Urban. And Matt, this is what I keep saying, they are disagreeing with one another, and they can't come up with one winning concept because there are too many cooks in the kitchen right now.
I think it's certainly part that. I look at this thing, and it's just, if you're all the way out down the season at this point, and you're looking at a 2-8 team, and a team that literally can't put first downs together or even make a first down. And I'm sure they've gone to Trevor and say, what are you comfortable with? But it's not what he's comfortable with in this offense. They need to say, what are you comfortable with, period? And if that means they run more RPO stuff like he did at Clemson and they start to do more stuff like that so he's more comfortable in his ability to progress quicker than becomes a factor, start running more of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you continue to bang your head against the wall over and over and over, and all you're getting is one first down, no first down, 6 points, no touchdowns, at some point you got to say, all right, we have to do something different because it's not working right now. They're 2-8. They can't score. They can't put together first downs. So figure out what he likes, what he's good at. Not necessarily within this offense. What made him so good in college? What made him the unique type of player that he was? Start there. Then you can get to all the other stuff you want to get to. He needs confidence. He needs guys catching the ball. He needs to feel good about what he's doing. And right now he has none of that.
See, the concerning thing in the Jaguar wide receiver room, you would have to anticipate DJ Chark might not be back next year. And even if he is, he didn't work with Trevor very much anyway. You would have to assume guys like Treadwell and Tavon Austin won't be back next year. You'll get Travis Etienne back at running back. Hopefully that helps. Hopefully his foot's healthy. But you're going to have to go out, like we talked about, and bring in 3, 4, even 5 different playmakers at the running back or at the wide receiver position. And the problem is we want to see Trevor progress in the next 7 games, right? We want to see him get better. And that would be awesome, and we'd be all for that. And it's going to be right back to square one because you're going to bring everybody in the offseason that he's never worked with before. And in training camp, you're going to have to figure it all out again. It's almost like he's going to be a rookie when he's throwing to 3 or 4 different wide receivers that he's never played with before, handing off to 1 or 2 different running backs that he's never done before. That's why, to me, when you see guys like Courtland Sutton get re-signed in Denver yesterday, that's a blow.
For 15 per.
Yeah, 15 per. But the Jaguars have money to spend. Look, if you want to surround him with targets – I mean, Buffalo went out and got Stephon Diggs. It cost him a first-round pick.
But like right
now, you got to do what you got to do.
He's not taking a step back next year if you get him the right offense. He needs to be in the right system. He needs to be in a system that fits him better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're not gonna. I don't see him stepping back if he's in an offense that he feels better about. He feels more comfortable in. It'll be like straight away, man. Let's go. Let's go.
He can't take a step back because he's been bad this year. If he takes a step back from this, that's a bad situation.
He's still got to get better guys around him. And it's clear. You not only have to get better people around him, it's clear now you got to get a better system around him because what they're doing right now is not working. You can't say, they played good against the Bengals. Okay, great. It's not working. Yeah. Change it.
Yeah, as Shad said, 2017 was ancient history. So was that Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
Week 4. Okay, they need to figure it out. All right, into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll stay on the Jags. Couple of listeners got signed up, JJ?
Yeah, we'll do a couple more later.
Okay, so all I got to do, whenever we give you a chance to get registered, a chance for Florida FSU tickets, noon Saturday kick, we're going to send one of our nooners to that game. So keep listening. It's XL Primetime.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
1 o'clock hour is here. It's XL Primetime cranking along. We roll till 2 today. Francis show up after that. Then Jaguars programming taking over at 4 o'clock with J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. They will have the Urban Meyer show at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We've been talking Gators, Noles. We've given listeners chances to qualify in the noon hour. We'll give you another chance to qualify for Florida FSU tickets for a noon kick on Saturday. And they'll be courtesy of the home of the Florida Gators, right here in Jacksonville, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. So, JJ, we talked about Billy Napier. We're going to get into him a little bit more. There's definitely some pluses and minuses as far as the opinions go, but we put a Twitter poll out there, so kind of tell us where it's at.
Yes, if Billy Napier is hired at UF, how do you feel about the hire? Like it or do not like it? Easy as that. And like it is running away with it at around 80%. I like it because of what I think it represents in an administration that the football staff and budget need to be expanded because I don't think he comes unless that happens. Give me a month to process everything. Stop yelling at me. I guess I had it in all caps. I just don't like it. I freaking love it. We got to get him. That is from Florida Gator.
See, that's interesting. I wonder how many people have made their peace with it, and that's why it's at 80%.
Well,
I've made my peace with it. I still want Lane Kiffin, all right? I make absolutely no bones about that. I will not apologize for that in the slightest. I want Lane Kiffin to be the head coach at the University of Florida. It's apparent that Lane Kiffin is not going to be the head coach at the University of Florida. So now I'm going through my grieving stage, all right? And at some point, probably the next day or two, I'm going to get to, what's the 5 stages of grief? It's like you understand the situation. You start recovering from said situation. And I looked at Billy Napier's credentials. It's all great. I think Lane Kiffin would have been the ultimate fireworks show to get the attention off of Georgia a little bit. But I wonder how long that fireworks show lasts. Maybe in a year and a half you're in the same boat, whereas Billy Napier may not be the sexiest name, but might be the best long-term coach at the University of Florida.
You can say it. Where could Lane Kiffin end up? Go ahead and say it. You can say it.
Oh, he might end up in Miami.
Oh, there it is.
I still wonder, I mean, again, between Ole Miss and Miami, no coach has voluntarily left the SEC for a job outside the SEC since 2014.
Yeah,
and that was James Franklin leaving Vanderbilt for Penn State.
First time for everything.
But, yeah, I think Lane Kiffin would be the correct choice, but Florida's not going in that direction, and here we are.
I think the people that have chimed in on Lane Kiffin have said they're worried about the fact that he is a bit of a loose cannon. Well, loose cannons are right now, if you do everything else right, loose cannons are a good thing to have at the University of Florida because you're much more a topic of conversation. You're in the funnel when it comes to players wanting to go play there. Lane Kiffin certainly would have a lot to recruit too. So there's a lot of good that you would say about him. And I'm just repeating myself with the way my opinion has changed of Lane Kiffin is that he's not just an offensive play caller. He is a guy that understands running the football and how important it is. Look what he was able to do with Matt Corral. Let's not forget, Matt Corral was a Florida commit, and look what he's done in his years at Hottie Toddy. He's been unreal.
Matt Corral and Ja'Marr Chase committed on the same day.
Yeah, and so Matt Corral was going to be a Gator, and Ja'Marr Chase was definitely a guy that the Gators were definitely in on. He ends up going to LSU, and look what he's doing now in the National Football League. But the idea of getting something stable that can last, that will return good fortunes, if Billy Napier is that, I don't care whether it's a sexy hire or not. I want the right guy. Is he better than Lane Kiffin? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think Lane has earned his way back, and I think he's going to get a Power 5 job. He deserves a shot at another Power 5 job. Florida doesn't need
a better Power 5 job.
Right. Florida doesn't need, you know, the pomp and circumstance of Lane Kiffin right now. They had guys that spoke their mind, the last two guys, and they're both out after 3.5 years. So they don't need that.
They might be gunshot.
They don't need that. Well, it's not what their culture is. It's not who they are. And that's really, as much as anything, why guys that's had success there fit more into their culture. Even though Herb was what he was, he was still a guy that was very big throughout the rest of the athletic department, or the other sports. He was very big on you know, supporting and being there for the other coaches. These two last guys have not been. And that's what they want. They just want normal. And Napier fits. He checks every box. So does Matt Campbell. So does Mario Cristobal. So it's going to be a matter of which one they get.
Where are the Matt Campbells and the Mario Cristobals of the world? I hate the fact that guys that we picked got the hell beat out of them this past week, like the Mel Tuckers and the Mario Cristobals.
Right.
Mario went down 31 points to Utah. Just got absolutely
By the way, did you hear Bill Riley's call on the punt return with like, it was like 5 seconds to go in the first half, and they called a timeout and forced Oregon to punt. Kid gets 82-yard punt return. It was like one of the best calls in a long life. Former Jacksonville resident.
Bill Riley from here?
Yeah, from the ball.
Yeah, I won Ball Buster Trivia on his show.
Yeah, Bill Riley.
In my mind.
That's what they called it. And I won. Yeah, it was a great moment for me. I was like 12 years old.
I'm going to get JJ to get it on the way. We'll play it on the way back. It's a phenomenal call.
And it was a phenomenal play.
Yeah, it was. It ended the game for Oregon.
But your old teammate, Leon, he got roughed up Saturday night.
He got worked. He got worked a little bit. I was a little surprised by that. But Utah is a good team. You know, I thought Mario though were going there. I picked Utah to win that game, and I picked them as
whatever. Anything right,
but I was a little surprised by the way they took a drumming. They took a beat.
See, now Mario will get him back in the championship game.
This goes into my whole acceptance thing for Lane Kiffin not coming to Florida, or it appears he's not coming to Florida. So I go to the recruiting rankings, right? And we always talk about Florida needs to get a great recruiter to offset Kirby Smart. So right now at the University of Mississippi in Oxford, they got a lot to offer, including the Grove. It's an SEC school, obviously. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are 37th in the recruiting rankings. It's not very good. Last year, though, they were in the top 20. They were 17th. Manny Diaz had Miami at 11. So I don't know how good of a recruiter Lane is. He was only at Tennessee for 1 year. Southern Cal, I think he did good, but obviously that's a different recruiting base than what's down here in the southeastern part of the country, and you can't judge him at all for Florida Atlantic, because it's Florida Atlantic. So I think we're going to find out real quick how good of a recruiter Lane Kiffin is, which also kind of is to the point why Florida may not be going that direction, because I don't think anybody really knows if he's a good recruiter or if he's not.
I think if you were 17th and now you're 13 spots below that, at least right now.
Well, no, you're 37th. Yeah, 37th, spots below that.
So that's a quite a bit of difference. I don't know whether he's in on a lot of guys, and if he were to close them, then all of a sudden he'd come roaring up the rankings. But that's not a good number right now. In fact, if your main problem, which we have all said this, if your main problem is trying to match star for star player, then you may not have that right guy. Yeah. Now, it's been said that Billy Napier has a lot of good ties. In fact, a couple of them, who is it? Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, the recent Senior Bowl.
Yeah, Jim Nagy comes out and says basically LSU needs to be very careful that Florida doesn't come into their own backyard. Paraphrasing, that's basically what he said, take Billy Napier out of there because of the recruiting ties Napier has in the state of Louisiana. You know what it'd be like? It'd be like if UCF had a really hot coach and Florida and LSU were both open and LSU came in here and got the UCF hot coach instead of Florida. Gator fans would probably have their feathers ruffled by that a little bit, probably like LSU fans have if Napier comes to the Gators.
It basically says without making a serious push for him, it could end up being a serious miscalculation. And he said Napier is ready for a big job, and he already has great relationships with high school coaches in the state. He's referring to Louisiana. Now, can he have those types of relationships in the state of Florida? Well, that's what you hope, because LSU is a fertile recruiting ground. There's no question about that. So is this state. But you've got to get that kingpin in the state that can get the kingpin share of players in the state. And right now, Nick, as a kingpin, is coming in and getting him and taking him back to Tuscaloosa. Kirby's doing it, taking him back to Athens. Dabo's doing it. Ryan Day is doing it, and so is Jimbo Fisher.
See, Matt, that's one of my concerns about Billy Napier. And whether it's fair or not, it is a concern, is LSU is just sitting there in the state of Louisiana. Ed Orgeron has been known he's going to be gone for over a month now. To me, it just makes too much sense that LSU would be all in on the hot, young, 42-year-old coach from their own state, yet you really haven't heard a lot of that. Maybe there's back-channel conversations, but it seems like there's more noise with Florida with Billy Napier in the last 2 days than there has been with LSU in over a month.
Well, here's another thing. Billy Napier's not from Louisiana. He's just coaching there right now.
Yeah.
He's from South Carolina.
But he's been there for 4 years, and he's done a pretty good job.
I know. My point is, if you're a coach and you can, your recruiting base is the state of Louisiana, which is very good, or the state of Florida, it's not even a question which one you choose. When the programs are comparable, and they are comparable, and there are many who believe that Florida is the better program of the two. So if your recruiting footprint is the state of Florida, that's where you're thinking, all right, I can win there. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it's the East. You only got to get by one guy. Yeah. Or in the West, you got all kind of problems.
But from the LSU side of things, have there been interest with Napier in them?
Everything I've heard is Scott Woodward, the AD there, is going for a home run hire. And is Billy Napier a home run hire for them? I don't know that it is.
Well, my next question is Dave Aranda a home run hire? Because I don't know that I would consider it. Even though I like the idea of a Dave Aranda coaching my club, I don't know that he's a home run hire.
No, I think when I say home run hire, I mean Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
I mean getting Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma to come to LSU. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, the industry people have told me, multiple industry people have told me that he's basically waving around 8-year contract, $100 million guaranteed, which is just sick. It's $12 million a year, plus $12 million a year.
And he wouldn't mind leaving Norman, Oklahoma.
Lincoln's already said he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But still, if LSU's offering $12 million a year, all of it guaranteed, wow.
All right.
That's going to be hard to
say. What will it cost to get Billy Napier, just out of curiosity? Is he a $6 million, $5
million? No. He probably makes $1.5 right now. He's probably you probably pay him $4 million, $5
million? Wow. Oh, I bet it's $5 million. Yeah.
Might not be that much, believe it or not.
Okay. All right, well.
It'll be a long deal. It'll be like a 7-year deal, though. Because he's going to say, I saw you blew out the last two guys in 3.5 years.
Well, there's some websites already saying last night. Now, they're not the most reputable websites, 2,000 and 3,000 follow websites, so take it for what it is, essentially a grain of salt. But based in the state of Louisiana, that's saying the Napier to Florida deal is all but done, and it's going to be announced on Sunday.
Yeah, I
haven't seen anybody that I would, you know, think that guy knows that it's done, but there are always some reports out there.
Off the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, a nice picture of Luke Fickell. And Matt, you've mentioned him. P.J. Fleck, the question was asked, was he considered as well? So we'll touch on those. We'll update the Twitter poll. And definitely want to get some of those thoughts from you on those big hot names that are out there for Florida now that it is official, and they will be hiring somebody sooner than later. Thanks to Beaver Chevrolet, Beaver Toyota, they help bring you today's show. You can crank out a brand new deal. It could be pre-owned or a brand new ride. Start by logging on, shop the virtual way. It's the easiest way to do it, and then you can get with the great people and see the service that they offer with the sale. Beaver Toyota, St. Augustine.com, BeaverChevrolet.com. Coach Campo's coming up at 1:35. Moose Johnson, one of his old players at Dallas, is going to be on the phone with us because he did the color for the game against the San Francisco 49ers, so we'll get his take. Coach did offer. He said, tell Hack I'll throw in a little for Wings. And the thing is now that if you bring up Coach Campo's name, it's just another name that has bought lunch for him.
That's
you know,
true.
Coach. No, Coach. You don't need to throw in.
That's right. Okay. Really, it's six. We should invite Dave in tomorrow. Yeah, like
exactly.
Thanksgiving
I did have somebody
thing.
On it's the, now a table for six.
I did right. have somebody on the text line. Is on my lifetime enclosure that said they would give me money in a cash app because
yeah.
we entertain him every day on XL Primetime.
I don't doubt that you will take him up on.
I will gladly provide you guys with sustenance. And I'm not the most technologically savvy guy. That's why I might need JJ or Matt or Joe. I'm not sure if Leon's any more technologically savvy than I am. We got to figure out how to get the sustenance here tomorrow if I can't physically go out and pick it up.
It's called delivery.
Yeah,
it's been around
again,
forever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I asked for people to confirm this. Do delivery companies deliver?
And I'm not around doing iPhones. I'm not doubting that Hack has had food delivered before.
But do I need?
Thank you, JJ.
That is a statement of the year.
Do I need to get an app? I mean, how do you?
No,
do this?
You use a phone. Hello.
Okay.
My name's Ryan. I'd like to get an order for delivery, and they'll say, "Okay, what's your address?"
Oh, all right. Well, see, because now you got to do the DoorDash and all that stuff.
Little known thing called the phone.
All right, I'm good.
It's XL Prime.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So we're talking about Urban Meyer yesterday saying changes could be made if the offense doesn't start improving. Well, it is the time of year for that as we approach Thanksgiving. Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News comes out within the last 5 minutes, says the New York Giants are firing offensive coordinator Jason Garrett after just 26 games with the New York football Giants. Of course, the Giants lost last night to Tampa Bay. The offense did less than nothing, and it certainly appears like Daniel Jones will go down as one of the bigger top 10 quarterback busts of recent memory, and Jason Garrett has lost his job, again, according to the New York Daily News today, as a result of that.
Well, it's funny because we're sitting here trying to figure out whether guys should get bounced. That's the exact same score this team lost by.
Yeah, I mean, their best offensive play was a pass to Andrew Thomas, who was the left tackle.
Yeah, and did you see him celebrate?
I saw him. He went up, he skied and got it, though. Yeah.
How come you never caught a touchdown? Did you ever try to get in the end zone? Did you ever go to the coach and say Coughlin or whomever?
Yeah, Coughlin's going to give me a pass.
I'm just saying,
they were going to call that pass for 71.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The firstborn gets that.
Yeah, because heck, even Trent Williams. They tried to get a touchdown for him.
Yeah, he tried, but Trent didn't run. He didn't complete the route.
Yeah,
you know, he tried to jump too soon.
He was scared when Andrew Wingard was covering him in the back corner.
Sure, he was.
This is the only team that double covers tackles. The only team.
Exactly.
If Garoppolo had not overthrown it, they probably would have gotten him. All right, JJ, let me get a little betcha before Big Sur heads out. By the way, you just went out and signed. What did you sign?
I just signed a Jaguar Searcy jersey and a University of Miami Searcy jersey.
Nice.
For a fan, yeah.
So if fans want to do that, they can just drop by, right?
Yeah, yeah. What I did is I got some jerseys from your guy. Mm-hmm. And then they're
over Palm Beach. Martin,
yeah, so there's a Pine Hills Trojans, middle Trojan Pop Warner School in Pine Hills where I grew up at.
Oh, yeah.
And they're having a luncheon. And so I was raising money for their luncheon.
Nice. That's a good move on your part.
They should really buy your book and bring it up here for it to be signed.
There you go.
Let's be real.
That'll be a nice Thanksgiving gift.
That area in Orlando is really starting to turn now, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's really good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Bet you didn't know. Brought to you by Travis Cummings and the Bailey Group.
All right, we are moving into the holiday season, which means things might slip your mind if you're an HR manager, a general manager, an owner, medium and large businesses. On the First Coast, the entire First Coast, the Bailey Group, they've been working with hundreds of businesses throughout the years that they've been here, and Travis is a specialist. He can help you, knows all the answers during open enrollment period. So give him a call, 461-1800. Make sure you ask for Travis at the Bailey Group. It's 461-1800, and take care of your employees. We have mentioned Justin Jefferson on the show numerous times. He's been one of our betches before. But he goes off again, him and Kirk Cousins. This is now 11 career games with at least 100 receiving yards. Now, that ties him with Hall of Famer Randy Moss and one other with 11 career games of at least 100 receiving yards. Now, they trail only one guy that's at the top in the Super Bowl era, the most games in their first two seasons. And at the tip top is OBJ. Odell Beckham Jr. did it 15 times in his first two seasons in the National Football League. So Jefferson joins Randy Moss and who else? Second best in the Super Bowl era.
Julio.
Wow, that's quick.
First two seasons.
And it might be right.
100-yard receiving games.
Yeah, 11.
I'm going Julio Jones.
That is quick.
That's quick. That was a pretty good guess, too.
You know, the one thing about it is old Julio hadn't done for the Titans what they think, what they thought they were going to get.
You're going to say Calvin Johnson? Johnson?
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. At least, yeah, true.
You guys were all jumping on that
bandwagon.
I can't
even say. I can't even say. At least Julio was on a team last year because AP was too. So,
I'll say Dez Bryant.
Okay, Dez Bryant,
Calvin,
and you got Calvin. These are good guesses.
I'm going to say Antonio Brown.
That's another good one. None of yous.
Give me a hint. Give me a Thanksgiving hint.
None of yous.
It's a time to be thankful.
A Thanksgiving hint.
first 2 years.
Yeah, first 2 years. He's still active. If it's in the Super Bowl era, that's a pretty damn good hint. He's still active.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Nope.
That's a good guess, too.
That is a good guess.
Davante Adams.
A.J. Green.
Nope.
Amari Cooper.
Nope.
What conference is he
active at? Fitzgerald.
Huh?
Fitzgerald.
Nope. He's not active, I don't think.
All right,
Fitzgerald still active? That's a good bet you didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's officially retired, though.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out.
No.
Yeah. He's just hanging out.
All right, the answer. The other guy tied with Randy Moss and now Justin Jefferson with 11 in their first two seasons in the National Football League, 11 100-yard receiving games, is a guy you just don't hear enough of anymore, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Wow. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Would not have gotten that.
Never.
Yeah.
In a million years.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, so I know we're knee-deep into football, but give me 30 seconds here, being the Tampa Bay Rays fan that I am. This is more for JJ and Joe C.
Mm-hmm.
Wander Franco, the Tampa Bay Rays, is signing a 12-year contract extension worth $223 million with Tampa. Franco is getting a guaranteed $185 million. The deal is done, pending small details. Now, this is a team that never pays anything.
Right.
And they're giving Franco...
Who's not even finished a full year, by
right,
the way.
12 years and $223 million.
You see what that is?
Yeah.
You see what that is,
that's
Big Sur?
A lot of numbers right there.
Could you have lived with that in your era? $18,583,000
a year, right?
per year. Per season.
That was the contract you signed right around that, right? Yeah. The one where you were the highest paid lineman in the NFL?
5 years, $17
right?
million.
Yeah,
it was right around there.
Not quite.
Yeah. Yeah. That was 5 years to get
right,
to that.
Right.
This is 1 year, and this is the first big contract that Mr. Franco has
signed. If you're 20 years old, why would you sign a 12-year deal?
I don't know what the particulars are. Like, his agent probably said, you know, X is going to happen. Like, you may get some opportunity to do something after a certain amount
of
time.
Like, after 5 years, like maybe, we'll reevaluate.
Maybe voidable years. And I really don't know. But he's going to – you would think he's going to sign two more major contracts.
And, you know, the thing with Tampa, they're talking about doing split games with Tampa and Montreal. Well, I mean, if they're throwing out $18 million a year to guys, maybe they have a little more money than they've been letting on through the past.
Well, but – you said to begin with, they're just barely starting to do it. So, and they've got to figure out how to do it to keep the Araz Arenas, the Francos, all those guys. All right, we got Moose Johnson coming up. Big Sur's, tell us your Thanksgiving plans one more time that you're going to go see the aunties and what you're looking for.
Like, yeah. Going to see the aunties.
Because you've got to bring up this mac and cheese movement that's going on real quick.
Well, of course there's going to be mac and cheese, going to be greens, there's going to be seafood stuffing, fried corn. Probably about five different hams. Ain't no telling how many hams they're going to cook. Turkey.
That sounds good.
Oh, my God.
You know,
explain that fried corn again. You were trying to explain that to us off the air.
It's in the skillet.
So how's it work?
It's in the skillet.
With the bacon.
You know, you shuck the corn.
So good.
And you you tally it off into the grill and mm-hmm. with the butter and, you know, the seasoning and the chopped the bacon and then you saute and fry the
corn.
You
can do whatever else you want.
Oh, yeah.
A little onion, red pepper.
Oh, yeah.
Get in my belly!
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Then someone's
you're talking dirty to me, and I kind of like it.
Yes. Who's leading the revolt on mac and cheese?
All right, so Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots, who's one of the league leaders in sacks with 10.5, was asked about macaroni and cheese today as his favorite Thanksgiving side dish. He got on his soapbox, and this is what he said. Matthew Judon, quote, "I'm not even going to answer your question. I'm going to tell you, we got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys, you got me on my soapbox. Here we go. It's just cheese and noodles. It's not that good. Let's be honest, guys. Everybody here is probably a little lactose intolerant about macaroni and cheese, so it messes up the stomachs, and we have to get it off the table." He continued, I'll be quick here.
Yeah.
"It's probably one of the most overrated dishes, but my favorite is the dressing. I do love that dressing. But get macaroni and cheese off the table, and it will be a much better Thanksgiving for everybody."
Communist.
The reason why he doesn't like it because he didn't have the right people cooking it for him.
Exactly.
If your grandmama bakes it, would you got a little crisp on the top of it?
Oh,
you can't tell me you can't put your foot in that.
You put ketchup on your mac and cheese?
What?
No. I'm going to leave after that. Like, I'm going to leave after that.
Why would you even say something like that?
Big Sur's is out.
I'm
just asking.
All right, Big Sur's is out. Coach Campbell's coming in. We got Moose John. The question is do you put it on everything?
I'm going to leave right now, too, man. That's just unreal. Seriously.
Coach Campbell's coming up. We've got Moose Johnson. He was part of the broadcast, but also a star with a star on his helmet back in the day. We'll say hello to him coming up.
Let's welcome in XL Primetime's coach, Dave Campo.
Our man Dave Campo hanging out with us. We've got the short show today, thanks to Beaver Chevrolet, Beaver Toyota. What is up, coach? You're looking sharp.
Hey, listen, I'm just excited to be here as always. Yep. And I'll throw in a little money with
I already told you Hack. You don't have to.
Yeah, I'll throw a little money in for you guys for the Thanksgiving feast.
You don't have to do that.
No,
it's on him. Person. He's got to pay.
Yeah, you're another person that's bought him lunch, so don't even do that. Are you kidding me, coach? Come on. Did you have to show some discipline from time to time?
Yeah.
See some discipline in your team?
Yeah.
You got to take the hard line.
Yeah.
And you guys are a tremendous team. I'm just a little concerned that there might be an issue.
In fact,
I didn't even take the points. I could have taken any points, and I said, I'll go straight up.
Get off your high horse. You told me that Beatty, or whatever the hell his name is, was going to run for 1,000 yards.
We got a .150.
And Missouri was going to win by 40. They won on a 2-point conversion in overtime.
Right. M-I-Z,
so it's
baby.
Not as if you were Nostra freaking Damus over there.
M-I-Z.
It was the surest bet he could have made, and he finally
won. It was a lock. Are you kidding
me? Thinking about it, I'm like the one guy that hasn't bought lunch for the group in 3 years. So I will be glad to provide you guys with sustenance tomorrow.
All right, now listen, we're going to try and hook up with Moose Johnson, but we got to get you because we got a short amount of time. If someone has a question for the coach, ask the coach. You can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. That was ugly, coach, .. Take it from there.
Well, it was a rough ball game, and of course, we've been struggling mightily here for about 3 weeks now on the offensive side of the ball. And, I studied that film pretty thoroughly this time, more than I ever have, because I'm getting a little frustrated.
Right.
And I'll tell you, fault Trevor, but if they have to throw the ball, if they have to drop back pass, they're in trouble. I watched that film. There were almost constant man-to-man, and the receivers were not open. And the other thing that's hurting him, he doesn't have time to wait around to even check off because he has a small pocket.
Yahtzee.
And when he was in college, he had a big pocket. He could take his time. So he's going to have to learn that, hey, this is the cards I've been dealt, and I've got to find a way. Either I got to take off like Mahomes does, or else, I've got to get the ball, and they've got to do some things. We keep talking about that. Mm-hmm. If they have to drop back pass, they're in trouble.
Coach, we understand the product on the field is terrible on the offensive side of the ball, so that's understood. Why is it bad? Is it coaching? Is it guys not performing? Is it lack of personnel, lack of talent? What is the issue as to why this team on offense is so bad?
Well, I think it's a combination, Hack, to be honest with you. You have to play to the strengths of who you are. And I still don't think we really are even trying to have an identity. I think we're looking at the team we're playing, and we're trying to say, okay, we can do this, this, and this, but they don't do that consistently. And I think that's the coaching part of it. I think they have to get some consistency on how they're going to approach every ball game. And, you know, I have always felt that sometimes offensive coaches, if they're not innovative, it's because they think too much. You know, they look at a team's statistics. Well, you know, they're doing great against the run, so we can't run. Well, we're a run team, so run the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, and then play action off of that or whatever it is. But sometimes they outsmart themselves. And defensively, normally you don't do that. Defensively, you say, okay, here's who we are, and, you know, here's who they are, and we're going to do what we do. We might have to tweak a few things here or there, but we have to do what we do.
So I don't know any other way to say this, honestly, because I'm so annoyed right now. I'm tired of saying, what do you got to do to do this? What do you got to do that? Move on. What they're doing right now is not working. Change it. Change what works for him. Not go up to him and say, hey, Trevor, what in this offense works for you that you like? How about just going up to him in general saying, what works for you in football, period, and then go from there?
Yeah, I think some of it has to happen, and I think they have to look at who they are, who they have,
right,
and start utilizing who they have. I think they started to try to do that with some bubble screens and stuff to Chenault, and then he fumbles. You know,
or drops it.
Look, the whole thing of that ball game, you can sum it up on the very first drive. Everybody's all upset that they had the ball for 20, 21 plays, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. On play number 10, they had a holding call on third down.
Exactly.
They're off the field.
Right.
And then on play number 13, they had a false
offside
start. And they're off the field,
right?
You know, in that drive. So you know, it's really you can't you have to understand that this is a work in progress, and it's still a work in progress. But they have to do more to make plays. Drops, you can't have a drop in a drive. It stops a drive. You can't have a penalty in a drive. The percentages are that drive is going to continue. And it's usually going to score points. If you're not hitting big plays, then you have to be completely disciplined on offense and not make any mistakes. And that's not happening right now.
It's our head coach, Dave Campbell. He visits with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll all miss our show on Thursday because of Thanksgiving. But you and I will fire out a Campo and Joe podcast. They can go to 1010XL.com and listen to that one and a lot of other great podcasts there. When you say that this team was guarded in – by man coverage, and this team could not get open, double that and go to the other side where when the Jaguars are on defense and they're in man coverage, everybody is open. Think about how bad that is on both sides of the equation.
And that's where we're at. You know, I mean,
that's a hell of a thing.
That's what you look at and you say, okay, what did the defense do though? You know, even in that game, you know, 30 points scored, but in reality, the defense didn't really play that badly. When you really look at it, they killed themselves on penalties, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, you get, in fact, when you get the first drive on defense and they get that personal foul.
Yeah, Rayshon Jenkins gets tossed.
Gets thrown out.
The captain.
So, you know, you can't do that. You know, those are the kind of things that kill you. You have to be perfect when you're a team that's rebuilding. And I know we have to have patience, and we do. But, you know, they've got to stop that kind of stuff and do things correctly.
You were a head coach in this league for the Dallas Cowboys, so you're a great person to ask this question. Three-parter. And you feel free to give brief answers because they don't deserve much more than that. We mentioned Rayshon Jenkins. A defensive captain gets tossed for throwing a punch. As a media guy, I think that's absolute nonsense. I couldn't believe he did it. Number two, the punt team goes out with 10 men because the punter didn't go out there. How on planet Earth does that happen? And number three, Dan Arnold didn't have a reception, but it's worse than that. They didn't try to throw him the ball. He had zero targets. Arguably your best player downfield had zero targets. How are those three things possible?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you know, you don't want that to happen, number one. You know, listen, you know, number one, Rayshon Jenkins just had a rough ball game because he had that holding call, and you know darn good and well that those guys know that the officials are looking right at him. Somebody's on that. Whoever's that receiver is, one of those officials is on him. So if you hold them, you're going to get called. That's number one. Number two, a lack of discipline in special teams has kind of been there a few times, you know, this year. So, again, that's coaching. You got to make darn sure that who's on the field. You got to know who's on the field.
Including the punter when you're punting.
Yeah, and you know, normally what happens in a game, Hack, is when it gets to third down, the special teams coach says, all right, guys, gather up in case we have to go in, whether it's field goal, whether it's punt, whatever it is. So those guys know ahead of time what's happening. Now, you know, the head coach has to call whether to field goal, punt, whatever. Right. I would think the punter would be the first guy to know whether
especially
what's going on.
Especially since this team punts a lot.
Yeah. Especially. And then Arnold, you know, he's the best player they have on offense right now. But against man coverage, he might not be the best player they have on. You know, again, he's a zone kind of a guy, get open and that kind of thing.
Well, I guess my point, Coach, if there's five guys covering him, at some point, I don't care. He's your best player.
Right.
Don't you have to try to throw that guy the ball?
Yeah, you have to get the ball. And one of the things that bothers me a little bit is when Irv says, well, I'm going to visit with the staff on that. You know, I didn't realize that he didn't get the ball enough. And that's happened, what, two or three times this year. So I think Urban's got to get more on top of what's going on during the ball game.
It's weird the way he reacts. How many times has he said, well, I'm going to visit with so-and-so like that on any number of different topics? He's just, if I were Shad Khan and I saw the way this program's being run, this franchise is being run, the first thing I would say was, that's not the guy I hired. That is not the guy I hired. And I would bring Urban in my office and I would say, listen, you're not the guy I hired right now. I could just go Ryan Green at 1010XL and he can do what you're doing. I want the guy I hired. He's got to be not only more involved, man, he's got to be more energetic. He's got to be more aggressive. He's got to say, call people out. When he first got here, he called out the two best players on the team. You know, told Miles Jack he was fat, told DJ Chark he's playing like a small guy. Where is that Herb?
Yeah, I don't know. And I thought that was exactly who we were getting when that happened. And, you know, the hard part is when I watch him on the sideline, it's almost like he's made the decision, I'm not going to be a raving maniac.
Right.
And, you know, and it almost is like, you know, you're looking at nothing happening. You
somewhat
know?
Detached.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to ding Urban because I still think if he's Urban, he's got a chance to turn this thing around.
100%. Yep.
You know, and you have to be somewhat patient because I've been there. I've been at 1-15. I know what it feels like.
So maybe he is displaying patience now, knowing that there's going to be a house cleaning talent-wise of sorts and perhaps maybe even a coaching clearing house. On the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, I got hit earlier. You know, did Joe just call Urban a subpar coach? My God, is the response. I'm like, right now he is a subpar coach in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have a heavily penalized team that shows no real true direction or long-lasting improvement and not look at the coach and say, this whole product is below average.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
The buck stops there. You know, and again, I've been on 5-11 teams when I was a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, you have to stand up and say, hey, guys, this is my fault. I screwed it up, and I'm going to get it fixed.
Right.
And go in and try to fix it. And, you know, sometimes you can't get it fixed. But you can't sit there and make a statement like Trevor Lawrence had the best game of the year. I mean, you know, the fans look at that like, are you, what are you looking at?
Right.
You know, but in some ways, he's probably right. But he's got to be careful of just being too nice to these guys. He's somewhere along the line, you got to call guys out and get them going.
We have 60 seconds to go here as we wrap up. They play the Falcons on Sunday. The Falcons have been outscored 71-3, I believe, in the last two games. Yeah, why do I feel like the Jaguars don't have a chance to win this game?
I think you're wrong. That's why.
Oh, that gives me confidence.
At the very least, you're consistent with those feelings that you have every week.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But this is the perfect team to play under these circumstances. They can't run the ball. They don't have any receiver that you can say is a special cat. If Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't play, they're in trouble.
Ridley could come off the injured.
Ridley's
the
not deal. Coming off IR yeah. or whatever it is. He's not going to be there. They don't have a good running back. The offensive line is very average. If they have to throw the ball, they're in trouble. Even the one thing they have is an experienced quarterback, and you never know when that guy will execute. Yeah. Defensively, they're one of the worst defenses in the league. They stopped the run all right, but they're giving up points. They're like 31st in points. So this is the team. Now, this is like Leon says all the time. This is the time now when the playoffs start mm-hmm. to come into picture.
Right.
They have to win this game in order to get to have a shot at going to the playoffs. And they still think they do. So it's going to be tough, but this is the type of team – I'd rather be playing them than the two teams that played them and scored 70-something points right. to their whatever.
At least there's both teams looking at the other saying, we got a real good chance to win this game.
Exactly.
Instead of just one team saying it.
Exactly.
Right, so before the Frangie Show comes up, we've got, as we get ready to go, JJ, take two more callers. Two more callers if you want to go. You got to want to win these tickets. Florida FSU, 641-1010. JJ will take three callers, three and four. And then he will do a drawing, and he will get in touch with the winner. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? 641-1010, callers 3 and 4. You will be the last two in the drawing for Florida FSU tickets. So, Coach, before we say hello to the Frangie Show, you at the very least, you feel like they've got a better than 50% chance of winning this game?
Or
it's a coin flip?
No.
It's a pick'em.
I'm going to put it right at 50.
It's a pick'em. It's a pick'em. Well, I don't think you're wrong when it comes to that. All right. Hey, listen, we always enjoy it. What's your favorite side dish for Thanksgiving?
Spatzel and beans.
Nice. Oh, see, you went to German.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of beans?
I don't even know what kind of beans.
What is spatzel?
Just string beans like with spatzels. Okay. You know, they're like
thin
dumpling mm-hmm. kind of things in them. You don't get them. It's kind of like you only get them once a year. That's it.
I like
so
that.
I'm looking forward
I'm
to
very
it.
German. Right. My mother's maiden name is Hemke. I've never heard
well,
of spatzel and beans.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring you some spatzel and beans next week when I come in here. You're going to get a German dish.
I'm excited.
Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank
everybody
you,
and the listeners as well.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers. Equal opportunity employer.
Lauren Brooke joins us now as we get ready
hello,
for the
hello.
Frangie Show.
What's
you got
going
the boots out in cold weather.
I do, yeah. It's, you know, only a few times a year that it's cold enough to actually dress like this.
Yeah, you've been
like it's cold out.
Yeah, waiting to roll the wardrobe out.
My poor little man, I had to put a sweatshirt on him, a hoodie, a jacket, and he's looking at me like, Dad, what are you doing, man? We're just walking 80 feet down the street to Grandma's house.
He's probably saying it's only 50 degrees. I mean,
right,
come on.
Right.
Yeah, it's really like not that cold as long as the sun's shining. I'm the person, though, as soon as the sun goes down, it can be the same exact temperature. Now I think it's freezing.
Yeah, and it does get cold.
And last night, it was getting cold.
Hey, we'll take it for the holidays.
I love it. Yeah, we have a family turkey trot Thanksgiving morning, so I need it to cool off a little
bit. That'll be fun. So what's coming up this afternoon?
We're going to talk to Greg McGarrity, the executive director of the Gator Bowl. We're going to talk to Denny Thompson. Y'all know him well. Mm-hmm. Everyone else does as well. Quarterback whisperer, that's right. And also squeeze in a scholar athlete today. We got a lot going on like y'all do in a short week.
Hey, the Gator basketball team is pretty good.
I jokingly said the other day, I'm declaring the Gator basketball team as national champions this season. That certainly may not be the case. It's way too early to tell. But holy cow, are they so much better than they've been under Mike White.
And
so much better.
They have shooters.
They have shooters. They can play defense.
Inside
like
they destroyed Cal last night.
And
they got
Cal's
Ohio
not,
State tomorrow.
Yeah, and Cal's not great, but certainly the test against Ohio State will be decent. the thing is, what have we complained about so much? Scoring droughts. Yeah. There have not been scoring droughts. And again, it's early. Anything can happen. But yeah, it's way more fun to watch this team than any of the others.
Totally agree. All right, we'll be listening, Lauren.
Thanks, guys.
All right, the Francis Show is coming up next. We are out. We'll be back at noon tomorrow. Thanks to Beaver Chevrolet. Thanks to Beaver Toyota. Thanks to those people that make great deals for you. You want to start online at beaverchevrolet.com, beavertoyotasaintaugustine.com. They will take care of the rest. JJ, you will draw a winner, correct?
Yes, I do, I will.
And then pay off our Twitter poll here real fast.
Yes, give me one second. By the way, you guys have to go on 1010XL's Twitter and look at the Drinkwitz.
Oh,
a little video coming. It is blowing up right now.
Yeah,
people are loving that. All right, so if Billy Napier is hired at UF, how do you feel about the hire? Simple. Like it or don't like it. Like it won 78%.
Okay, we'll find out if there's news. We'll keep an eye on that when the Francis Show is coming up next.